This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are happy to be with you once again, live across your social media and elsewhere. Tell a friend, we are back. This is April Ryan. This is how she makes her debut on Black Press USA by coming on camera with me every day. And I appreciate that. Hopefully, we'll see how it all works out.
And we have a guest. I'm so excited.
Yes, indeed. So we all know and love Elie Mystal. He is our leading justice and courts correspondent for the community. He actually holds the title of justice correspondent for the Nation magazine, nation.com. Elie, welcome, man. How are you, buddy? Good to see you again, as always.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark. Nice to be with you, April. Look, yeah, what I do, I don't even know if what I do has meaning anymore, right?
Because, yes, it does.
Because what we're talking about is a court that is completely taken over by MAGA and by Trumpian forces. And I'm just kind of there being like, hey, that's wrong. Hey, that's illegal too. But like, is it going to matter? I can't give people that confidence anymore. Because the courts are completely captured.
But Elie, no, I think it matters more so now. Because the unfortunate thing, a lot of people either have not been taught or forgot or just don't want to embrace it, the civics portion of how everything works, you know? I just feel like we are needed more so now. And I'm kind of mad with the news organizations that are dumbing down our Black politics.
They've totally capitulated. I think to the Trump regime and to the tech bro regime. We can argue about whether or not Trump is just leading them to where they always want to go, or if they're just pathetic cowards who are wetting their pants. But either way, however they got there, the result is the same. They are afraid of Trump, and that means they're afraid of centering Black voices, and they're afraid of centering, you know, a counter argument to the white supremacist ideology that is now firmly ensconced in power in Washington, D.C. From my perspective, that actually makes me feel, it's terrible for the country and it's terrible for the media, but, you know, it makes me useful, Like, as long as you're not going to be afraid about it, right? Like, the percentage of Black folks even out there right now who are not afraid of these people, you know, like, I'm talking to two right now, but, like, there's a list. We can name us, right? There ain't a lot of us no more. And so that makes what we have to say probably more important than ever. I agree with that.
But did I say this to you, Mark, yesterday? I don't want to hear people complaining now because everybody's flooding my inbox. Everybody's flooding my text messages talking about, oh, I'm praying for you. And I'm wondering, did you vote? You know, I'm scared. I'm like, did you vote? Because, you know, 7 million Democrats who could have voted, the numbers were less used. 7 million for Trumpers. Those who support MAGA, support President Trump, they had 3 million more. The math wasn't mathing. So if you're scared now, were you scared before the election? And see, sometimes we are people who have to see it to believe it. We told you. It wasn't hyperbole. It wasn't myth. It wasn't conjecture. It was the real deal. And now you're getting it.
Everything he's done in the first 3 days is right out of the Project 2025 playbook.
Exactly.
And we spent, you know, April, I know you were there too. We spent real time with media, with people gaslighting us and telling us, well, he doesn't really believe in Project 2025. That's a red herring. It's like everything he has done in his first 3 days is right out of their handbook. Right. So again, I kind of with you, April, like, you know, if you, what, you thought we were lying?
Yeah. I thought we were making it up. Right. Thought we were making it up. So
in the words of Kevin Hart, people are going to learn today, right?
So, Elie, what you've done is, and his piece is at thenation.com, folks, you've done a line-by-line breakdown of his birthright citizenship executive order. This is the 14th Amendment. So we want people to be informed about this. It was the 14th Amendment that gave those of us who were enslaved birthright citizenship in this country, correct?
Yes.
And yes. that's really what it was about. Now, obviously, everyone else benefits from it. But that 14th Amendment was one of the post-Civil War amendments that was meant to specifically benefit us, was it not?
Yes, and not just formerly enslaved Africans. The 14th Amendment is also what gave citizenship to any Black person, to free or otherwise Black folk in the United States of America. It's the first line of the 14th Amendment, and it was made to overturn the Dred Scott decision, which right. said that there was no citizenship for Black people, free or slave, in these United States. Now, operationally, and just because I've heard some people, not many, not most, I've heard some people suggest, well, maybe those Latinos that voted for Trump should get their ass gone, right? Like, maybe they shouldn't have citizenship because we have citizenship. Understand that when they attack birthright citizenship, they are attacking Black folks' claim to the country, right? Like, the Latino stuff is almost ancillary. It's almost a secondary side effect of the actual right, okay? Because the 14th Amendment said that anybody born in the United States was a citizen of the United States and their individual states. That was the huge part. That was the earth-changing part. Because before the 14th Amendment, there was no such thing as a United States citizen. That is a concept that did not exist before the end of the Civil War, before the 14th Amendment. Before that, citizenship flowed up from the states. You weren't a citizen of the United States. You were a citizen of Virginia. You were a citizen of New York. You were a citizen of North Carolina. There was no such thing as a United States citizen, right? Oh. And so obviously, all the different states had very different rules about what made you a citizen of that state, right? So a person
states
born
rights.
Right? So a person born in New York under certain circumstances would be a citizen of New York, but not a citizen of Virginia if they were born, even if they were born under the exact same circumstances, right? And that led to the legal conflagration that we now know as the Dred Scott decision, right? Because Dred Scott was not a citizen. He was a slave, according to the laws of Missouri, I believe it was, right? Then he travels to Illinois, and according to Illinois law, he's a citizen. So he argues that he should have his citizenship rights, which includes, you know, not having to listen to white folks. But no. Missouri said, no, you can't become a citizen just because you left our state. And so we have this whole court case. And the Supreme Court decides in the Dred Scott decision that no Black people can be citizens, not just Dred Scott, not just enslaved people, but no Black people, free or otherwise, could be citizens, right? The 14th Amendment overrules Dred Scott and doesn't just say that, okay, Black people can be citizens, which, although it did, and that was super important, it says that you are citizens of the United States, regardless of what state citizenship you may hold or may claim. So now what Trump is trying to do fundamentally, again, I'm not saying this isn't bad for Latinos and other immigrant groups. It obviously is kind of primarily, he wants people to primarily focus on them. But what he's really doing, the true threat for all of us, is that he's trying to return citizenship to a kind of a pre-Dobbs, a pre-Dred Scott era, where any political entity, whether it be a state or a locality, can make their own rules about citizenship. He literally says in the executive order, citizenship documents, a birth certificate, social security number, issued by one state do not have to be recognized by other states, right? So if you're a citizen, if you're born to an undocumented mother in California, and California is just like, screw it, you're a citizen of California, here's your birth certificate, here's your social security number, Texas doesn't have to acknowledge that birth certificate. Texas can question your California birth certificate and potentially kidnap you and deport you and send you off to some other country.
So this is dangerous. This is, Mark, yes, this is so dangerous.
What?
Because here in Maryland, all right, here in Maryland, if I were to go, as let's say it's back in 1857 or before when Dred Scott decision was found. So I'm in Maryland and I'm a slave, but I go up to New York where I'm free, you know, I'm gonna have to fight that. You know, so what do I do as a Black person? Do I stay slavery and my mind says free me and go to New York where there's not, and then it could be challenged. And we have to go back through the 14th Amendment all over again. Now, remember, laws can be changed, and so can amendments. They can be amended. But here's the problem. This is what people need to understand. But here's the problem. Ellie, I love your mind. I love your mind. My God, I love your mind. But here's the thing. People have to understand this is very nuts and bolts, very complicated, but it's real. They're going back to old laws and old philosophies. And when you think about what does he mean? When does he mean make America great again? That's 1857, okay? That's when he's talking about when America was great, when there were slaves. Now think of this. In 2025, we're in. Project 2025 is all about this going back to that time. Women didn't have rights. People of color didn't have rights. Now, but what it would do, that same mindset would kill this country economically and the cohesive nature of this country. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, the bottom of it all, it's about stopping the browning of America. In 2045, we're supposed to be a brown nation, majority minority, right? It's this. It's immigration. You know, who are they sending back at the border? Who comes to the border that's the face of the border? Haitians, Mexicans. You know, even though others, Ukrainians, everybody else comes. But who overstays their visas when they fly in? It's not us. So this is about the
brown. It's Elon Musk, actually.
Elon Musk, who overstayed his visa in the 90s. Yes. The world's wealthiest man. You're absolutely right. But here's the next piece about it. And it's not just all of this. It's also abortion. Because if they want everybody, they want certain people to keep having babies, period, end of story, to keep the population high. We have to dig and look at what is real, okay? This is a real dynamic. You know, this is about race. This is about old laws, old antiquated laws that they want to overturn. Go ahead, Ellie.
Yeah, what they're trying to do is stop the commingling of black and brown blood with their white blood. And I don't mean that in a kind of a theoretical sense. If you look at the actual executive order on the birthright citizenship one of the key functionalities of it is this idea that your citizenship rights come from your parents, right? Like if your parents are citizens, they can confer citizenship upon you. If your parents are not citizens, you can't become a citizen. You have to get citizenship through your parents. This is a concept that is prevalent in the old world, right? In Europe, Africa, and Asia, they do it by, and the legal term for it is jus sanguinis, which translates to rule of the blood. It's citizenship by descent. Now, this makes sense if you think about like a colonial mindset, right? If you're British and you're traveling the world, raping and pillaging brown people as you go, you want your kid to be a citizen of Britain no matter where you are when that kid is born, right? So the citizenship to the UK, the citizenship to Ireland, the citizenship to China, it all passes down through the parents. If your parents were a citizen of a place, you get to be a citizen of the place, right? That also makes sense if you think about it in terms of like Africa or the subcontinent, places that were subjugated by the white men, right? Once you break the yoke of white power, once you get independence and free, you want all your people to come home, right? It doesn't matter, you know, if you're from Zimbabwe, like my wife's from Zimbabwe, right? You're from Zimbabwe, but you're off, you know, serving tea in London. And now Zimbabwe is no longer Rhodesia and Zimbabwe is free. You want to say, hey, was your father from Zimbabwe? Guess what, Zimbabwean tea server? You're a Zimbabwean again. Come on home, right? Mm-hmm. Citizenship by blood. In the New World, so all of the Americas, all of South America, all the islands, we do citizenship by birthright. And what is that old New World distinction? In the New World, we don't care where your parents are from. In the New World, we don't care what your mama and daddy did. We care what you did. We care what you are. This makes sense if you think about the New World as a place where ain't none of us from here, right? The people who are from here, they're living on a reservation right now, quite frankly, right? If they weren't completely genocided off the face of the earth. Most of the people in the New World, America, Canada, Mexico, you know, Haiti, Jamaica, the Taino people, the original, you know, islander people in Haiti, they don't exist anymore. The white man killed them all. Everybody in the New World now is a descendant of colonists, immigrants, or slaves. Some of us, descendants of all three.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's, so it doesn't make sense in the New World context for us to tie citizenship to where your parents are from, because your parents ain't from here. So it's gotta be about where you are from, where you are born. That's the key concept. So when Trump tries to change this birthright citizenship thing, understand he is interjecting blood libel. He is interjecting blood poison into the Constitution where it exists nowhere else.
Wow.
Only the slavery parts of the Constitution had anything to do with a condition that you could inherit from your parents. Everything else in the Constitution is not inheritable by your lineage. It is given to you as a right by dint of being born in America.
So now you break this down line by line. He calls citizenship a gift. Mm-hmm. He disputes in executive order whether it was meant for everyone born in the United States. And then he plays around with this term you call legal jargon that you acknowledge a lot of people don't understand. And I don't know if I do either. Subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Walk us through that.
That's states' rights.
So the Trump people are trying to say, like, the 14th Amendment never applied to everybody. It only applied to people who were subject to the jurisdiction of the United States of America, right? So what does subject to the jurisdiction means? All that really means, all that ever meant was, do you have to follow the laws of the United States? And there were, of course, people living in what we now know as the United States of America who were not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. Those were the Native Americans. As I point out in the piece, the people whose land we hadn't stolen yet by 1868 were not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. And so obviously from the perspective of the white people who wrote the 14th Amendment,
right,
Native Americans couldn't be citizens of the United States because they were still defending their own lands, right? Native Americans, and even Native Americans living on reservations within the United States, were not thought to be subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. So Native Americans, for instance, did not get full citizenship rights in this country until 1924 with the passage of the Indian Citizenship Act. So we've always treated Native Americans crappily.
Yeah.
Everybody else is subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. That means subject to the laws of the United States, whether they're in status or not. And anybody at home can do this thought experiment. Imagine being an undocumented worker, right? You come here, you don't have papers, you cross the border illegally, you are unlawfully in this country, right? Are you subject to the jurisdiction of the United States? Here's the thought experiment. Take that person and go try to steal a car. Go try to steal some liquor. Uh-huh. See how quickly the jurisdiction of the United States crawls up your behind. It won't take long. It won't take long for you to find out again that you are subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. So that's the thought experiment way. That's the way for people to think about it. Legally, I mean, this question has been asked and answered. The Supreme Court has repeatedly said that everybody living here is subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. You want another example? Tell me, remember how Wesley Snipes had to go to jail because of tax evasion?
Right.
Wesley Snipes was saying that the IRS was unconstitutional and he wasn't subject to its rules. And then Wesley Snipes was put in jail, which is what would happen if anybody said, I'm not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, so I do not have to pay United States taxes. That's great. Until the IRS shows up, and guess what? You're subject to the United States. So this argument that not everybody that lives here is subject to the laws of this country, it's just bollocks. It's just wrong. But because it's a term of legal jargon, and Republicans do this all the time, it's trying to inject ambiguity and uncertainty where there is none, right? It's just trying to muddy the waters so average people say, like, oh, I don't know what that means, so we're going to let the lawyers figure it out. No, the amendment and the laws upholding the amendment could not be more clear. Trump just thinks he's above the law.
So now, as I'm reading this, these are his actual words, mm-hmm. where he's saying, I mean, he's literally just trying to change the language of the Constitution on his own through an executive order, if I'm reading you correctly.
Yep.
This paragraph, this is nowhere written anywhere. Among the categories of individuals born in the United States and not subject to the jurisdiction thereof, the privilege of the United States does not automatically extend to persons born in the United States. One, when that person's mother was unlawfully present in the United States and the father was not a United States citizen or lawful permanent resident at the time of said person's birth. Those are his words, right?
Those are his words. Yeah, that's right.
So where is that in the law? That's nowhere in any law anywhere.
The amendment says that everybody's a citizen as long as they are subject. The subject to is in the amendment, right? But saying that that subject to has never meant to confer or has never covered people in whatever situation he's describing, that's just a lie. That's just not. The way that we know this is that we already know that people who are born to undocumented mothers are citizens. We've always operated that way. Not only us, our State Department, other people's State Department, like that's, you get a passport, you get a birth certificate, like that's always been the way it works, and that's the way it's worked since 1868.
Wait a minute. Okay. Now, so the Trump administration was talking about, I'm going to break this down very simply, in very simple layman's terms. So the Trump administration, well, the incoming Trump administration at one time was talking about, oh, we're going to get rid of illegal immigrants. And then they got pushback and they were talking about, they said, oh, well, we have to just talk about those who commit crimes. So now with this birthright citizenship thing, this now gives more to, it's not just the criminals, but now you can get rid of anybody else. That's what we're saying.
Right. So technically the executive order only takes place 30 days, only goes into effect 30 days after it was issued. So 30 days from Monday, and only applies to people going forward. Right. So technically speaking, if you were born to an undocumented mother on December 25th, you're a birthright citizen. If you're born to an undocumented mother on February 25th, according to this order, you don't have birthright citizenship. Right. That's technically how it's supposed to work. But April, I'll come back with this. When he's putting people on trains and sending them to concentration camps, which is what he's going to do, and people say, no, my child is an American citizen, you can't do this, at least to the child, who's going to stop them? Because part of this executive order, part of the point of this executive order, look, changing the Constitution by executive order is not something that he can do. But what he is doing is giving a signal to all of his MAGA violent forces that you don't have to treat people who are American citizens as American citizens because it was hinky. Because they're not real Americans, because there's a difference, right? So even though the order technically only takes place prospectively, it's going to be applied at the point of a gun retroactively to whenever Jimbo in his Ford F-150 rolls in and tries to kidnap brown people and send them to a concentration camp. Like, that's how it's going to be applied, even though legally it's technically only supposed to apply going forward.
So it's a roundup pretty much. This is the other part to round up basically anybody that they want, not just the criminals. Right.
Remember we haven't even talked about the Kamala Harris provision in this.
Come on. Y'all need to hear this.
Right. So there's a section that says, even if you are born to parents who are here legally, right? To immigrant parents who are here legally, let's say on a work visa or student visa, their children do not automatically get birthright citizenship. That's what the executive order says. That's a very specific case, but that very specific case applies to one Kamala Harris.
It also applies to Elon Musk.
Well, I'm going to get there. Applies to Kamala Harris, whose parents were both on temporary student visas at the time she was born. So obviously they can't go back and take away Harris's citizenship rights, right? But what Trump is, again, the point of this order, what he's trying to suggest is that Harris, the woman he just beat for the presidency, shouldn't have been allowed to run for the presidency at all because she wasn't a real American.
No. Let's go deeper. Barack Obama. This is also Barack Obama with his daddy.
It's look, the birtherism never left these people. I don't know. I mean, the media stopped talking about it,
right?
But the birtherism that started the Trump phenomenon in this country, it never went away. They've always still believed it. Now, Elon Musk is a little bit different. There's what I call in the piece, the Elon Musk exception to this birthright citizenship law. It says that if you are a legal permanent resident, nothing in the law should be construed, nothing in the order should be construed to deny citizenship rights to your children. And that is specifically because Elon Musk, after he overstayed his visa and was technically an illegal immigrant who should have not only been deported, but not been able to apply for legal permanent residency after he overstayed his visa, even now that he is technically a legal permanent resident, the executive order doesn't apply to Elon. Of course not. Couldn't be. Or all the Genghis Khan-like children he's trying to have with desperate women who need money. That's okay. So it's a literal Elon
South African, he's exception. Subjected to it all.
You know,
he's South African, he's subjected to it all.
Exactly. So that's that. The order, legally speaking, it's unconstitutional on its face. But, and we can get to whether or not the Supreme Court's going to actually do anything about it. But even more than the legal uproar that this has caused, it's the social point that he's trying to make. He's trying to say certain Americans aren't real Americans, and this executive order is like the legal grist around that mill.
So let's talk about that, because that's really where we are. Is the Supreme Court going to do his job? They haven't on his behalf at all. So they're not likely to enforce the 14th Amendment here either, are they?
I mean, look, the certain white people on the Supreme Court have never liked the 14th Amendment. They've weakened it at every opportunity. This is so blatantly unconstitutional, blatantly flies in the face of the amendment, that I do think that the Supreme Court will eventually get around to overturning this executive order. But the eventually is important. Right. When they get around to overturning it is important, because remember, what does this order operationally do? It means that after February 20th, if you're born to an out-of-status person, the state is not allowed to issue you a birth certificate. The state is not allowed to issue you a social security number, right? These are basic Bureau of Vital Statistics. This is basic record keeping. After February 20th, there are going to be babies in complete legal limbo with no documentation, right? So if the Supreme Court stops the
and
order,
those babies are on the way. Folks are pregnant now. They can't reverse the pregnancy.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, that's as my understanding. Look, I'm a man, but my understanding of pregnancy is that it's a kind of a one-way road when that gets going, right? So if the Supreme Court doesn't stop the order before February, you are going to then have a class of citizens, of babies who are born without documentation. If the Supreme Court doesn't get around to overturning this order, which I think they will on the merits eventually, but if they don't get around to it for a year or 2 years, it's 2 years worth of babies with no birth certificates, no identification, and have to reapply. How do you even do that? You're a baby. How do you even go about the process of re-Americanizing, if you will, all of the babies that might be left out over the period of time before the Supreme Court gets around to overturning this rule, if they get around to overturning it at all? That's number one problem. Number two problem, what did we learn from the Muslim ban? I will say this for the next 4 years, anytime this issue comes up. What did we learn from the Muslim ban? We learned that the Supreme Court likes to give Trump multiple shots to get it right. An executive order that is unconstitutional on its face when it first comes out might be the Supreme Court, instead of just saying, we're not going to do this, the Supreme Court will likely kick it back to Trump with clear instructions. Hey, you can get rid of birthright citizenship in this way if you make this argument in this manner, right? And it'll give Trump multiple opportunities to try and try and try again to get it right. That's what they did with the Muslim ban, right? And then my final point. So let's say I'm wrong. Let's say the Supreme Court immediately is like, nah, this is terrible. No, we're not going to give you a second chance. No, this is just unconstitutional. What makes anybody here think that Trump's going to agree?
Right. And what they going to do about it if he doesn't? What are they going to do to him? Nothing.
Supreme Court doesn't have an army. Trump controls the army. He can think about who we're talking about here. The Bureau of Vital Statistics, the Social Security Administration. These are federal agencies. Trump controls those federal agencies. And all the agency heads, we know, are Trump sycophants with no independent backbone or loyalty to the Constitution. They're all loyal to Trump personally. So if he tells the Social Security Administration, I don't care what the Supreme Court says, don't issue the cards, who's going to stop him?
He's immune to everything. April, a closing question, a thought for Ellie as he brings us all this.
I got a thought. I don't have a question. Ellie has broken it down.
Don't y'all feel good? Go ahead.
No, you. I saw you rubbing your head. I mean, it's making you think. It's making you think, and it's making you wonder. It's making a lot of people wonder, should I stay or should I go? You know, a lot of people are literally trying to get these agencies to help them move abroad. That's what I do know for sure. But I'm going to say this. I keep thinking about, as you talk, Ellie, the bishop from yesterday, how she said, have mercy on the LGBTQ plus community. Have mercy on the migrants who are here working in so many different sectors. Have mercy. This, what you're talking about, does not allow for grace or mercy. It does not allow for representation to help these people in an adequate time, because this is very complicated. It's very complicated. It all goes back to this black and brown thing. That's all it is. It's the complicatedness of trying to legalese to get black and brown folks out of this country to keep this country majority white. I'm sorry, it sounds harsh, but that's where we are.
Look, April, I think about leaving. I've thought about leaving every day since the election. And taken some steps, you know, like considered some options, done the Zillow search, in various, other places. I don't pull up this. I'm not thinking about it idly. But like so many, Americans, like so many black Americans, I got roots here, right? I got my people here, right? If I leave, maybe I have the means and the opportunity to leave, but can I bring my mother? Can I bring my cousins? Can I bring my uncle? Like, am I leaving them? And if I'm leaving them behind, aren't I still fundamentally tied to this place anyway? And then that kind of leads to, well, to the extent that I can, don't I have a obligation or a duty or responsibility to fight? But let me be clear. I ain't trying to be Harriet Tubman, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have that dog in me, right? I'm not trying to go back into the cauldron, right? I might be trying to be Frederick Douglass. I might like make some speeches in the North where I'm safe now, but I ain't trying to go back. And so there is gonna be a time where it gets too hot for me, right? Yeah. I don't think that we're there
yet,
but I'm aware that time could come. This isn't how I tend to go out. You know what I'm saying?
No, wait, let me be clear. When you say get too hot for you, what is, and forgive me, I don't mean to put you on the spot, and I don't remember, your status is what?
Oh, no, my mother's from Mississippi. We can trace our lineage back to a plantation that was freed when Sherman came through, right? So, like, I have some, my father's an immigrant, he's from Haiti, but, you know, I was born in Queens. I should be good. I mean, too hot for me in terms of like the violence, because like remember, this violence is all is if the law is the white man's left hand, violence is always the white man's right hand, right? His strong hand. And we know the violence is coming. We know the violence is coming primarily directed at vulnerable people, but well off people think that they will be saved by their wallets from the violence that is to come, you better check that again, because that has not historically been true. And so I when I'm talking about too hot for me, I'm talking about like literally that point where I do not feel safe in this country, which is, it's not upon me yet, but it's one of those things. You know, I lived in the city, I've lived in cities all my life. It's one of those things where like you hear the ambulance and you know it's not on your street, but you know it's only two blocks away.
But let's talk about this though.
Okay.
Just the other night, you know, when the Proud Boys got out, they were doing things and intimidating and
make threats.
Yeah. The intimidation factor is real. And you know, when we walk into the White House now, so many people are in awe. And I was just telling Mark this yesterday, people are so in awe. Many Trump supporters are now coming standing at that gate. And God forbid they recognize me thinking I'm, you know, whatever. And Secret Service is there. You just don't know. I mean, what we consider at one point the great American melting pot, we celebrated the diversity of this country. We celebrated different trains of thought. We celebrated people. Now we're putting them in corners and cages and sending them back. This is, it's a lot. It's a lot.
So last, I know we got to go. I just want to point this out, Elliot, if you want to comment on it. So we heard last night he targeted a Lyndon Johnson order in 1965 that would protect employees of businesses seeking federal contracts from discrimination.
Yep.
Most people don't know about that order. I mean, we know that's what happened, Elliot, but I bet you and I didn't know about executive order and that it was numbered 11246. In other words, these jokers are going through stuff with a fine-tooth comb, looking for it. Like if you waterboarded me yesterday, April, hey, Mark, you named executive order where Johnson did it. I know he did it, but I couldn't name the order.
Right.
How do they go back? I mean, they are literally going through everything.
They've had 4 years to do this. They've had 4 years to do this.
They've been planning this for years.
4 years to do this.
But
did 2025 wasn't just created like that.
But I thought Nelly said he wasn't a white supremacist.
Yeah,
I mean, what are you talking about, Nelly? What does this mean? You gonna walk that back?
No, what about Snoop? Snoop, what does this mean? Snoop, you what did you say? Anybody goes there as a jigaboo and all this other stuff, and then now you and singing the N word to a unenthusiastic crowd at the Melodic
Auditorium. Well, I think people y'all would know. Agree. Great, I'm sorry.
People don't know why we're free. I mean, it's as simple as that to me.
The history. Teach
it. Right. People don't
get them to ban the book.
All of the legal structures. Let me put it like this. If you think of the racist white man as a wolf, right? As a wolf with a real taste for black blood, right? Taste for black meat. You have to think about all of the things that are keeping that wolf in a cage as a bar, right? Like, and each individual bar is important. Each individual bar keeps that wolf in a cage. To get the wolf out of the cage, you don't have to open the cage. You don't have to even break down all of the bars. You just got to weaken some of them. And the wolf will eventually get out. And that's all. If I could put the Trump era, if I could put from 2012 birtherism to today to whatever's going to happen in the next 4 years into like one analogy, all that era has been is weakening the bars and weakening the bars and weakening the bars. And the wolf is almost out and about to chop down on some black necks.
Elliot Mistal, thenation.com. If you go to the website, blackpressusa.com, his article is hyperlinked with this video that's streaming now on the website, his latest piece, and he is a scholar, if there ever was one. Matter of fact, the next administration, a prolific scholar. Matter of fact, the next administration needs to appoint Elliot Mistal to the Supreme Court. If you agree, if you're watching on social media, write yes in the comments. I probably just may put a bigger target.
He'll have his cowrie shells.
I put a bigger target on his back just now.
By the time Democrats get power again, I'll be way too old.
Don't say that, Ellie. Oh, God, please don't say that. A line-by-line breakdown of Trump's birthright citizenship executive order. And, yes, Ellie's going to be busy because we know the hits and the foolishness are going to keep on coming. Ellie, we appreciate you. You're very much in demand. Thank you for taking time with us. And if you're not aware, you are on the maiden voyage of Black Press USA's brand new senior White House correspondent and Washington bureau chief, April Ryan. My phone is ringing off the hook about how much both of you are needed in this moment. People call me, don't say I'm needed, but they say, Mark, Ellie, they text me right now. Mark, we need Ellie and April. That's fine. I'm cool. I'm good.
We are all needed. And that's why Ellie, we gotta stay, because what is it? People perish because of a lack of knowledge.
That's right.
What is that? We got roots here. Your parents lived, your ancestors lived, so you could be who you are today. You were the pride of their loins. Connie, and I know from my humble roots, and you can't let people, you've got a beautiful brain. You cannot let people scare you and intimidate you. That's what you are, a threat to those who are juxtaposed to what we're doing. And you cannot, and I've done it too. I've looked, and I even talked to actress AJ Johnson about, you know, what does it look like to move to Africa? You got to put in a little bit of sweat equity to get citizenship over there. You can't just go over there like Stevie did. You know, Stevie Wonder, he put in sweat equity to be a Ghanaian. So did AJ. It's not just, oh, I'm going to leave.
I'm coming home. No, it's not.
Yeah. So you can't just do it like that. You know, I've heard people talk about Panama. I've heard people talk about Portugal. I'm going to Ghana. You got to look and see what really is the right fit for you. And if really you need to go, because, you know, what if everybody leaves? What if everybody
leaves? Well, all I'm going to say to that is, I'm going to say this, and I have to be true to our history and all of our ancestors. Mm-hmm. Kwame Ture once said this, Ella, you probably have heard this, that if you spend all your time working to change and improve one space, all of that benefit ultimately goes to that space. And that's why he said some of us need to go back home, because we fight. Look at Ellie's, listen to you all's brains. Look what you all have to offer. He said at some point, some of us need to take our brain power, our talent, and our gifts back home. Now, everybody can't go. Some of us need to stay here. Some of us need to go home. But that's what he said, because ultimately we're on this hamster wheel. We did this. We already got the 14th Amendment. Now you want us to go back and fight to have it again? We already did a lot of things. We just had Martin Luther King's birthday. All the things he did. Now you want to make us go back and start all over again to do those things. So I'm just saying, some of us will have to stay. Some of us will have to go. Some of us will have to run for office. Some of us will have to stay in the background and do other things, as Harriet Tubman did underground. Hello. And every meeting we can't have on social media. Well, have a meeting, brother. I said, I don't need to be no more public meeting. We need to have some private meetings about what we're going to do. But that's a whole nother thing.
The revolution shall not be televised.
That's right. That's right. Every meeting ain't got to be streamed. Every meeting ain't got to be on Zoom. We need to have some meetings with the doors closed about what we're going to do. Love you,
you
both.
You know what to do. You know what to do. Just don't tell it and do it.
You know, a lot of people don't know what to do. And I think that's one of the reasons why I think all of us still do media. A lot of people just honestly don't. But like I would add, doing nothing is not an option.
No.
Right? Doing nothing is not an option. So not everybody can do what I do, and I can't do what some other people can do. But doing nothing is not okay. So let's just start there.
Folks, I hope you all agree watching this that we are, the revolution's in good hands. We appreciate Ellie Mistal. Follow him everywhere. April Ryan is here with us. She'll be here with us every day. And we appreciate you both. Thank you both, okay?
Thank you so much. Have a great one.
Going all to right. The White House tomorrow. Let's see what time we...
So wait a minute, Ellie.
Briefing tomorrow.
Wait a minute, Ellie. This day, but she's been going there every day this week. They don't even come to work. They haven't had one briefing. Them people don't work.
They don't have to.
They have going to work, but no.
They don't have to go on. That would include explaining themselves. They don't have to. White people don't have to explain. That's their mentality right now.
Well, the
don't
press explain crap. They feel that the president has been talking and he's been busy. He's been talking to the press. He's been issuing statements and having conversations. So, I mean, he doesn't need a spokesperson to talk to him if he's doing that. But tomorrow there's supposed to be a briefing. So I will be there and let's
do it. Do it, April.
No, here's some lies about crowd sizes. Let's go.
Ask questions like I normally do.
And that's you.
Look, this birthplace citizenship begs some questions and begs answers as well. This letting all the DEI go. Everybody's on paid leave now. You know, yep. I mean, it's just
Just like, how do they even determine if you're on D? Like, how it's just if you're Black. There's no actual. It's a whole nother show. I gotta go.
That's what. Okay. Yes, love we y'all. All have to go. Love y'all both. I mean, we can talk forever.
Peace all right, I'll talk to you later.
Thank you all.
Bye.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.